What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield. Joining me this hour as 411 Teen panelists are students from Florida High Developmental Research School. Here at the roundtable, I welcome Andrew Rakestraw. Andrew is a 10th grade student. He's into Boy Scouts and cross-country running.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for coming. Jasmine Espinoza, she is a regular. We're always glad to have her. She's in the 11th grade. She's in SGA, and she also does a little bit of babysitting on the side.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Chasen Scruggs, another regular. Chasen is a senior this year. She's also into SGA and video production.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And Fraley Krause, she's a junior, and her thing is cheerleading.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, I want to say welcome to all of you, and thanks for coming. Religion plays a significant role in shaping American society in both political and civic life. American culture and identity are intertwined in the religious heritage. Research shows that young Americans are dramatically less likely to go to church or participate in any form of organized religion than their parents or grandparents. What role does religion play in your life? Religion remains diverse and fluid in the U.S. Americans are by far the most religious of any of the advanced industrialized countries. God's support has been invoked in all areas of American enterprise, from slavery to war. What role does religion play in your life? And I'll just go around the table. Start with you, Fraley.
Well, I was raised Christian. I've been Episcopal my whole life, and my mom was Episcopal. And I know she went to church pretty regularly when she was a kid. And we used to go a lot when I was younger. And, like, our lives have gotten so busy, and, like, me and my sister are tired. I know it sounds so horrible, but we're tired. And so, like, a lot of times on Sunday, we just can't wake up, and we just don't wake up in time. And so we miss a bunch of Sundays. But, I mean, I still try to be as involved as I can. Like, I'm an acolyte. A lot of churches probably don't know what that is, but that's where you, like, hold the cross and walk down the aisle. So I still do that, and, like, I'll go whenever they sign me up to do that. And But we don't go as regularly as we used to.
No, well, I thank you for sharing that. And, you know, they often say that Sunday is a day of rest.
Yeah.
You know, so that's okay. That's no problem. And, Chasen, what about you? Where does religion fit in your life?
I was raised, my family, they don't really tell us, my siblings or I, in a certain religion to be, and we are very independent. And my parents are very supportive of us exploring other religions or not having a religion affiliation at all. And I just feel like I'm very open to I'm very open to different faiths, and I'm not really affiliated with any religion specifically.
Okay.
I've been going to Calvary since middle school, which is a non-denomination Christian church, which I really like because it's kind of, I don't want to say open-ended, but it's not like this, and this.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have like real rigid doctrines, okay.
Which I love a lot, and me and my grandma go to that church because my uncle and my mom were raised Catholic, and so was my grandma growing up, but I guess when she moved to Florida, she's from New York, and I guess when she moved to Florida, she kind of like did her own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm pretty involved with my church, I would like to think. I started watching the toddlers on Sunday at the 9 o'clock service, and then instead of going to the 9 o'clock, I watch the toddlers and then go to the 11 o'clock, so I'm pretty much there for, like, 4 hours. But I don't go on Wednesday, and my church believes in, like, not having a Wednesday-Sunday relationship with God, but having a Monday through Sunday relationship with God, which I try and follow a lot, but I don't say it's, like, on my mind 24/7.
Okay. All right. And we'll get back to explore some of the issues you've brought up. And, Andrew, where do you sit on this issue?
I'm a Christian. My dad's actually a pastor for the denomination Grace Communion International. I try to help out with church in any way I can, pretty much, doing the sound system, reading the scripture on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty important part of my life.
Sounds like it's a significant place, a significant role in your life.
Yeah.
Let me ask you all this. Do you make a distinction between being religious and being spiritual? Because so often you hear that, and I'm just wondering, how does that fit with you? Does it make any difference, or do you make that distinction? I guess I'm looking at you, Jasmine, so you're in the hot seat.
I guess there's a difference, but, like, spiritual to me, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, what I picture, but I can't finger on anything. They do fall in the same category to me, but I think spiritual is, like, more, you're, like, extremely religious. Like, that's what I just picture. Okay. You're, like, extremely loyal to the Bible, and, you know, I don't want to say extremist because that's not the right word, but, like, you know what I mean.
Well,
like,
that's what it means to you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I just want to know, you know, what that means to you, what kind of distinction you make, if you make a distinction. Jason?
I feel like it just depends on who you are. I feel like some people can merge it or it can be separate. I feel if you're just spiritual, I feel like there's really no, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't really follow the guidelines of a certain religion. And I feel like being just religious, you follow that religion, you identify with it. And I think being both, you merge your own personal spirituality and being in touch with yourself with your religion as well.
Okay.
I kind of agree. I agree with both of them in the sense that, like, there's a lot of people that will say, oh, yeah, I'm religious, like, I'm Christian, but then they've never been to church in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so they just, like, identify as a Christian because their parents were, or maybe that's just, like, what other people are, but they've never actually been to church. And then there's people that are, like, spiritual and, like, go to church every Sunday, and they're, like, really in touch with God, and they, like, believe in all of the, like, commandments and, like, the Bible, and, like, they try to go to church every Sunday and just follow it very strictly instead of just, like, identifying with it. Like, some people identify with it, and there's other people where it's, like, it's their whole, like, lives, and it, like, sets the course for what they do in their lives.
Okay. That's interesting. Andrew?
I feel like spiritual is more of a vague term. Like, you can be spiritual, like, believe in a higher power without being associated with a certain religion.
Exactly.
While if you're religious, like, that has a kind of feeling that you've already chosen a religion to follow.
Okay, yeah, and that's kind of the way that I have seen it. So it's always interesting to get your perspectives on it. That's why I wanted to hear. Now, the United States is considered very religious when compared to other industrialized countries. When we say that about the United States, what does that say to you? What message is conveyed with this type of information if we're saying the United States is very, very religious compared to other industrialized countries? Jason, you're nodding your head.
I feel like it can dictate a lot of what people vote on, who people choose in the elections, what laws people vote on, because they choose it with whatever their religion agrees with. And a lot of people, they don't make that separation of church and state, and they just vote with their personal beliefs. So I feel like it dictates it in that way. And then a lot of what we see in pop culture, I feel like some people let their religion reflect in things they make in music or art and movies and TV shows and things like that.
So what I hear you saying is that religion does play a major role in the United States, and it kind of dictates or sets the parameters of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
right.
I feel like I feel like it's
More
that way for people that are older. I feel like the younger generations, like you stated earlier, they're being less affiliated with religion and not that as serious with it. I feel like that's not with the newer means of pop culture.
Why do you think we're seeing that change? I mean, we're seeing this change generationally. I mean, what's your take on that?
I feel like there's so much diversity now. And the school I go to, there's people of all different religions. And I feel like we're learning so much. And I don't know. I feel like whenever you're raised in a situation where you only see one religion, that's all you know. That's all you want to be. And I feel like not as many people are religiously affiliated when they see more to the side. They see a different side of the story. They don't just see one religion, and they're more open to changing it or not having a religion.
Now, Andrew, what do you think about this? I mean, when you hear about us as the United States being so extremely religious, what does that say to you? What does that mean?
Well, naturally, if you're devoted to your religion, it kind of becomes part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about identity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's naturally going to play a role in your decisions and the way you act.
Okay. All right. Jasmine?
I think about, like, how we say that we're extremely religious and stuff. I don't necessarily dislike it, but I don't think that it should make other people feel like they have to be one religion that live in the United States, because just because our government follows that same, like, because we claim that we're Christian, am I right? So I don't want people that aren't
Christian to say
that, oh, I have to be Christian because I live in the United States. I don't want people to feel like that.
Exactly.
Good point.
And because people move from not the United States to the United States, mm-hmm. so they shouldn't have to feel that they need to change just to fit in.
Yeah.
So that's my take. And I think it goes back to, like, what Fraley said about how people only see one religion in their household, so they identify themselves as that religion, but then they don't really know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of what your parents feed you and tell you. And
well, why? And I'll direct this at you, Fraley, but we'll go to the others, too. Why do you think we're seeing this difference and generations? I mean, because, Jason, you mentioned it. Yeah, we're religious, but the younger folks don't feel as connected, I guess, is that a good word to use, with the religious doctrine of whatever it is they prefer. So why do you think we're seeing this generational change?
With the older generations, I know this is
all right,
like...
don't be talking about old folks. Oh, go on.
Just older. I didn't set an age on it. definitely, like, way older. I'll explain this later.
Okay.
So, like, there's... With, like, the times, there's become a lot more to do. Mm-hmm. And, like, in the old times, like, all you could do was, like, work and go to church. Mm-hmm. And, like, in communities, like, I know in history we've learned about all they did on Sunday, all they did was go to church. They didn't even work. And so... It's been like that with the older generations now. You can probably see it still, like, lingering around. They don't have, like, as much to do as we do. Like, we can go play soccer on Sunday, or we can go cheerleading, or we can go shopping, or we can just, like I do horribly, sleep, because we're so sleep-deprived. instead, like, the older people, they didn't have all that to do, and so on Sunday, all they did was go to church. They continued doing that for the rest of their lives. And so it became, like, a part of their, like, weekly routine. Like, okay, Sunday we have church. Let's not do anything. Let's make sure not to schedule anything.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. This hour, we're examining the role of religion in the lives of young folks. And I had to interrupt you, Frank. So you want to continue what we were saying? Because we were just talking about the generational differences that we see as far as being actively religious, I guess is the easy way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any more you want to say?
I think based off what I already said,
mm-hmm.
like, our priorities have changed also with that. So, like, the older generations have their priorities. If they were, like, religious, we're going to church or, like, going to temple or whatever you may on Sunday or whatever mm-hmm. other day, depending on your religion. And, like, as you go down the generations, you see that we have different priorities. Like, we may be religious, but we don't put our God first. We put other things before that. And so, like, yeah, we might go every other Sunday because we have nothing else to do that Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But we put other things above it mm-hmm. instead of going to church.
Okay. All right. Yes,
yeah.
Andrew.
I'd say, yeah, definitely. There's a definite gap. And, in the culture and change between the older people and our generation.
Mm-hmm.
The church was a much larger part of the community in the old days. Nowadays, there's a lot of other things that can distract us from what may have been common in the past.
And a lot of other things that demand your attention and time.
Definitely.
Yeah, so you're involved in a number of things that... you don't have the time that that we who were born back in 1902 had. Okay. Did you have anything you want to add with that?
Not really. I agree with Freely and Andrew about the priorities. It's just different. Like, some places aren't open on Sunday, so they are still with their religious beliefs. But like me, I work on Sunday, so it's not. Mm-hmm. But I also go to church on Sunday, so it's not. It's a balance, I think. If you have that balance, then you'll be fine. Like, I don't think it's going to affect everyone.
Okay. How does your religious belief or doctrine interface with your daily life? And by that, I mean just what dictates, what direction does it have in how you behave or what you do on just a regular daily basis? I'll start and go that way.
As a Christian, it teaches you to be love your neighbor, just to be a courteous, kind person, mm-hmm. to not hold grudges, just to be a good person. I don't know mm-hmm. exactly.
Okay, no, you're saying it. That's fine. Yeah. Okay.
I kind of agree with Andrew. Like, I personally always try and stay positive, even if you, like, could be having your worst day. Like, just always know that it's going to get better. If you're, like, upset with someone, just figure it out and forgive them, and they'll forgive you, and everything should be fine. I don't think, like he said, you should hold grudges or anything, because it'll ruin the rest of your week. So
that's true. You agree, disagree, Jason?
I think religion was built to give people a type of moral standard, and indeed. It was made so long ago, and I feel like it really dictates how I feel today on my moral conduct. I feel like many religions put together, there's some negative aspects and some things I disagree with in many religions, but I think if you take the good out of all them, that mm-hmm. they build a really great moral conduct. I think each religion has something very positive and something that everyone could learn from.
I know I like being raised as a Christian and in the church. My parents hold me up to certain standards that, like, they were held up to as a kid, too. And so I know I try to follow everything. But, again, like, when you go around to the people that say they're religious but they don't really go to church, they don't have that foundation set by their parents. And, like, they don't have that foundation that they would get in the church. So, yes, they may say they're Christian, but they don't let any of, like, the beliefs run their lives because they don't know what they are. I mean, you can say you're something, but also you cannot know anything about it.
But I guess my question would be, does one have to go to church to be religious?
No. You can't, like, know what it is, like, what it's all about if you haven't, like, studied it and, like, haven't.
Yeah, but studying it is different than going to church. Like, you mm-hmm. can do it in your own time.
And every church is different, so then that means that every church you go to, it might as well just be a different religion because you're getting that the pastor, priest, whoever mm-hmm. is the leader of the church, and it's they have a little bit of bias in it. It's a little bit of their opinion, and it can have a slight effect on – I don't mean that in a bad way.
That's, there's honestly, like, differences between pastors, their different teaching styles, what they would choose to teach. I definitely see that, but – in a denomination, that gives kind of a standard for what's being taught within that group.
Okay. So then you would agree with her because you've got to get the main twist of what they're talking about.
Yes.
Okay. And you can't do that if you aren't there to hear the doctrine and whatever. Okay. All right. How do you feel about the separation of church and state? For example, what's your position on prayer in school?
I don't know. Like, I don't. Our school isn't a Christian, Catholic, or anything. Mm-hmm. We're a school open to everything, so it's not like I've never experienced that where we pray in school or anything like that. I don't know how I would feel if one of my teachers was like, "Okay, everybody, hold hands," and mm-hmm. I feel like that's forcing everyone in that class to be something that they're not, because I know for sure that not everyone at Florida High is a Christian, is a Catholic, or is whatever religion you believe in. So I just think it would be very uncomfortable for me, even though I am religious. I think it would be really awkward mm-hmm. if that were to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to put anybody in an uncomfortable situation. Mm-hmm. It's not, I'm courteous to them.
Okay. Well, you know, what about even when the football team, you know, they get in that huddle and the coach has a prayer?
I think that leaves people out. I was on a soccer team one time, mm-hmm. and the coach said, let's pray. And I knew in my head, I was like, separation of church and state, they're breaking a rule right there. And then I had a friend on the team, and she was Muslim. And I knew the coaches were Christian. They made it clear, and majority of the people on that team were Christian. And I did not think that was fair, and I thought that was just, you shouldn't put someone in a position. And I've gotten, people have been in arguments about it, and they say, well, that's not fair. You're basically telling those people they're not allowed to pray, and you're discriminating them by letting them not pray. I was like, no, and they're like, that person could just step out. Well, how would it feel if there's 20 people grouped up, and then she has to step out, and then there might be people that are judgmental, and they'll be like, oh, they're not Christian. They're not my religion. And I just don't think that's fair. And I think separation of church and state is important in our country because our country has so many different religions. And how are we going to base it on one religion when the first thing in our Bill of Rights is freedom of religion? That's and we're going to dictate everyone to one religion and follow the rules of one religion. That's not what the point of our country was.
I agree with Chasen as well. Like, with the whole gay marriage thing, we didn't have gay marriage because of, like, a Christian principle. And that's, like, something that was seen in the Bible, you can say. And so, I mean, as a Christian, I'm going to say I'm not going to have the same beliefs as, like, I'm just not going to say a position. But
no, feel free. We really want to hear where you're coming from. Because there's no right or wrong. You're entitled to wherever you're coming from. So go for it.
Okay, I may not think it's like, sure, people should have the right to do whatever they want. Like, mm-hmm. male should love male if they want to, or female should love female if they want to. And the Christians in the world, like, if you don't like it, okay, you don't like it. Don't do it. Just ignore it. I don't think it should, that Christian belief should interfere with, like, the state law. Okay. And I think they should, okay. I think separating that was, like, the right decision. I know it upset a bunch of Christians, but they, like, in a sense, they're being selfish because you have to remember that Christians aren't the only people in America. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we're so diverse. There's, like, so many other people that aren't religious, and they're not going to let those, like, religious beliefs determine who they love. So yeah, I just think that it should be separate, yeah. even though people have conflicting views.
Religion shouldn't interfere with people's personal rights, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
Yeah. People should put themselves in that position. Christians are obviously the majority in this country, and they need to put themselves in the position of a religious minority sometimes in situations like that if they disagree they were being dictated mm-hmm. a personal choice to someone else's religion.
Christianity is definitely not about calling people out.
So. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my next question would be, what about the atheists and the agnostics and maybe those who are Hindu and those who are Buddhist, and we could go on and on and on. Do we take their beliefs or non-beliefs, whichever way you want to look at it, into consideration?
I know there's, like, I think they're recognized, but they're not as, like, prevalent as Christian beliefs, because mm-hmm. I know at our school, we have a FCA group, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and, like, they have a prayer circle sometimes, and I know that that's, like, it's optional, so it's not violating anything. But, like, what if there's people that want to, like, have a prayer circle, but they're not Christian? Uh-huh. Like, what if they want to have a group like that? Because, like, it's a group where, like, Christians can come together and, like, relate on things. But what if there's, like, another religion, like, say there's Muslims at our school that want to, like, have the same thing and, like, want to relate on those things? So I just feel like other religions are overlooked because Christianity, like, prevails over all of them.
And yet, you know, we say Christianity prevails over everything else. But there's some hypocrisy there. Because what about the war that the United States are in?
I was going to say that earlier, because I figured we were going to get to that topic.
You're reading my mind.
Yeah. But, like, we claim that we're a Christian nation and all this stuff, but we don't follow strictly every rule that's in the Bible or every... And neither do I, because at my church, it's non-denomination. They say you don't have to believe in everything they believe in, which I don't. And so... We're wrong when we say that we're completely Christian, because there's no way.
There's some hypocrisy there.
We're predominantly Christian, but that doesn't have to do with our government. That's not, that's, mm-hmm. just the way it is.
So that's where we separate that
church and state.
Yeah. Okay.
And I feel like if you're not personally doing something that's against your religion, and your country is doing something that doesn't completely agree with it, I don't think that's a problem, because that's you're one person. You can't control an entire country, mm-hmm. and you shouldn't. I don't think God would, you know, look down on someone mm-hmm. of something as silly as that.
How far should we go to accommodate the religious beliefs? How far should private companies go, I should say, to accommodate the religious beliefs of their employees? And I tell you what I'm thinking about at this point. And I think maybe we were talking about this one time, Jasmine. Abercrombie and Fitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, and I guess it was last year, this is 15, it was last year a young lady applied for a job and was denied because of the religious garb that she wore. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm coming from. So what's your position on that? I mean, what do you think?
I thought like that stuff like that was illegal until I think we had mm-hmm. this discussion.
Yeah.
And I found out that not everything, like I think I was too specific on what they can say. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Okay, like they can't give you a job because of your race. Like they can't, that can't be the reason you don't mm-hmm. get the job, or because of your sexual orientation mm-hmm. or because of your religion. So I think that's like absurd.
Yeah.
Like that shouldn't be allowed, because mm-hmm. I understand like if you're like a Christian company or something and you have a great employee who would be great for that, or a great candidate for an employee, I guess you could mm-hmm. say, that would be great for that position. You can't not hire them because
If you want to promote a particular image and this person doesn't fit your image? And that's what was going on with that. Yeah, that they didn't fit that image. And so consequently, you know, they wanted her to take off the jihad and all that, you mm-hmm. know. And that's just something for us to explore and think about.
Yeah, I can honestly see it both ways, because it is a private company, so the government isn't supposed to be able to, like, mm-hmm. mess with their business.
Okay.
But also, that is denying her personal rights, which our government supports. And mm-hmm. if we're their company in our nation, they should follow mm-hmm. our laws.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing we have to think about, of course, in public schools, they can't prevent students from wearing items connected with their faith. I mean, for example, if you wanted to wear a cross around your neck, they can't tell you you can't do that. Or a turban or a yarmulke, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you know, they really can't prevent you from doing that. So that's another kind of twist there. You know, the First Amendment protects the right of all Americans to freely practice religion. But the courts have kind of grappled back and forth with this whole religious attire thing. And I think, you know, we're going to see more and more. It's going back, and it's going, which way we're going to go, you know. Do you feel like your views are shaped by religious leaders? Who influences your beliefs? You know, because we earlier said that morals, what was kind of right and wrong, really is dictated to some degree by your beliefs and your religion. Okay, so what really shapes from where you sit?
Like your family and how they raise you and your religion. Like, because I didn't start going to church until I was in middle school.
Okay.
Like, and I actually enjoyed it, because I would go when I was younger, but I never wanted to, because they put you in those classes and I don't like to sit in those classes. I like to go where they sing and where they, you know, talk to, like, I wanted to be where the adults were. So I didn't enjoy it until I was in middle school, and I had the choice of whether I wanted to go to the middle school classes or I wanted to sit in the adult part of the church, and I loved doing that. And so I think that's when I learned a lot of what I consider my morals, and then also what your family teaches you and what your family tells you what is right and wrong.
Okay.
I don't really think about how I got my conscience,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, if something feels wrong to me, I don't think like, oh, is that in the Bible? If it feels wrong, then I'm not going to do it.
And so again, what you're saying is, or what I hear you alluding to really, is that your right and wrong is determined by your milieu, by those in your environment. You know, parents have told you don't do this, don't do that, that's not right. And that's fine. That's where it's at. And it's not something that you're consciously thinking, ooh, this is, the Bible says I should.
Yeah, it kind of just happens.
Okay. I don't think I could live like that if I had to think all the time, oh, what does this say? Da, da, da. Like, I just don't see that. And I know there are people are like that. I just don't think
that. And I don't believe in a God that's out to, like, get you on the small things.
You know, another thing that I always find so interesting are how different religions feel like it's their way or the highway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe in this, then you are damn to hell, and everybody is going to hell who is not in my religion. You all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I find that very contradictory, since in the Bible it explicitly says that God is love.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
a loving God wouldn't do anything like that.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right. And, you know, and if you don't know any better, if you don't believe, you still won't be condemned, because, you know, if God is loving, he'll embrace, or she, or whomever it is, will embrace you and understand that this particular person is not here. They're here.
Exactly.
And so it really doesn't make that much difference.
He's going to work with us, yeah.
Yeah. It's about, you know, it's about a loving, having a loving environment. You're smiling.
I know we're running out of time, but I have, like, I have an example that can really
run
back
it.
That up.
If you can do it, do it.
Okay.
Or you want to hold it and come back.
Yeah.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are having a great, lively, informative, insightful discussion with some dynamic young folks from Florida High. We're going to take a break, but we will return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I've got some great folks here, all from Florida High. I have Fraley Krause, I have Chasen Scruggs, I have Jasmine Espinoza, and I have Andrew Rakestra. I had to interrupt you, because Fraley, you had some comments you wanted to make.
Okay, on the thing that, because we were talking about, like, how churches, like, should accept everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But a while, like, about 10 years ago, my church, a bunch of the members didn't agree with the pastor because he didn't support gay marriage. And so it got such a bad, issue that we actually split. And so there's a new church that he went to, and all those people, those were all the people that believe that gay marriage shouldn't, it's like, it's in the Bible, apparently, and that gay marriage shouldn't be a thing. And then all the people that stayed at my church were like, no, God loves everybody. Like, that should, it should be okay. And, like, there's, I know gay people that go to my church, and they're, like, the nicest people. And they're still religious, but they love one another. Like, it's a man that loves a man. And we all accept them because, I mean, God accepts everybody.
Right.
And we're not going to judge them based off of their, who they love. And so that big split was over.
And, yeah. And I think that's a good example, because you do still see a lot of that happening. In the same kind of trend, what role does religion play in political campaigns?
I think with the GOP, they really use Christianity to kind of lure people to vote for them, and they say traditional American values, you know, we're a Christian society,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. I feel like they really use that. And I feel like with the Democrat Party, there's less of that because they try to bring in the minorities, and they're more of the political party that has a lot of benefits for the minority part of society. So I feel like they don't really affiliate. Most candidates that run for Democrat positions, whenever they run as a Democrat, they don't really affiliate with any religion for that purpose.
Okay. I'd like to hear what you think about this, you know, bringing religion. I mean, it was a big deal because they were saying President Obama was Muslim. Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't, but if he was, so what?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
If they're going to actually do what's best for the country, that's the point.
Yeah.
And if they follow separation of church and state, it should have no effect on you.
Exactly.
Exactly. And that's what I was talking about. So what difference does it make?
Yeah. It doesn't.
It should.
It should.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
People have natural biases. You know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, even within a religion, the variety is huge from person to person, even. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Well, we're a struggling nation. We're struggling when it comes to living with religious diversity, I think. We say one thing, but we really don't act in that way. Do you have any types of insights that you think that would serve us to for people with different religions being able to live together in a nation, in a community? Because if you think about it, religion is often the basis of many wars and mm-hmm. disputes. Mm-hmm. So how do we get beyond this?
I feel like religion is a very personal thing. And I think you can merge it within your church, within your family members and people of the same religion. But I think it's something very personal to you, and I think it should be something private to you, and mm-hmm. no one should judge you based on it. And I just think in a lot of situations in our government, such as the workplace and the school place, it doesn't need to be discussed.
Okay.
With how it shouldn't be discussed in school, I know there's, like, friends I have, and I don't even know what religion they are because we don't even talk about it.
It's
like,
interesting.
It's not sensitive, but it's like me and Fraley are in the same friend group. Like, we have most of the same friends. So mm-hmm. it's, like, I know people that, like, I know Fraley and her best friend Madison are Christians, and, like, but there's other people that you don't want to ask that are, like,
yeah, it's just not
you don't
want to
bring
up.
It up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's, like,
you just kind of keep it to yourself. And, like, we all get along fine without knowing what religion. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I don't like her because she's not Christian. Like, that's just not something that shapes my friendships. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It's sort of like a taboo thing. I don't know. But actually, my closest friend at school, he's Jewish. So, mm-hmm. I mean.
That's a perfect example.
It's all about how a person. Yeah. It's all about who a person is, how they act.
Yeah, one of my best friends, she's Muslim, and I think, like, you know, everyone, and I have friends that are Christian, you know, I have a friend that's Hindu, I have Jewish friends, and, yeah,
religion
I had something I was going to say,
is
but
not
it slipped my head.
Is what I hear you all saying, that religion really is not a fact, and that's good.
What they show, that who they are, that's what matters, their actions.
The content, the character.
And I think you can, like, say you're a religion and bring that title, but you don't follow things of that religion. Like Fraley said, people can just follow what their parents believe in, but you can act anyway and say, oh, I'm this religion, oh, I'm that religion, and have nothing to do with that religion, just like the extremists. Mm-hmm. Like, extremist Muslims, they don't follow what a Muslim mm-hmm. should be. Mm-hmm. And there's people that start wars that are of religion, and they claim that it's that religion that's driving them, and it has nothing to do with that religion. So I don't think it should matter when people's content of their character really does not have any connection with their religion a lot of the time.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say it appears that Americans, and not just Americans, but since we're here in America, we'll talk about Americans, invoke religion to support whatever plan they do, whether it's slavery or war or whatever. They use religion to support their position. So religious interpretation is selective.
And it gets very twisted. Like, depending on what you are trying to back up, you can twist it so many ways. And so it's just on how you say it. Because a lot of the times, like extremists, like Chasen was saying, how they start wars and stuff, your religion doesn't say that that's what needs to be happening. So it's just on how you twist the words and stuff.
It's all about greed and manipulation. Mm-hmm. And religion's a powerful thing. And if you don't know what you really believe, you can really manipulate people by saying that's what you should believe.
Right.
And I feel like if you don't have a very open perspective to other religions, if you've just learned about one and you see one bad thing from a religion, that dictates your whole view. Like, there was this thing on Facebook that an older person posted, and it was something about how 9/11 taught them everything they need to know about Muslims. And then I said something about it, and I was like, this is completely ignorant and irrelevant, because that's basically saying, because KKK members say that they're Christian, and that has nothing to do with the Christian religion. I was like, that's basically like someone saying, the KKK taught me everything I need to know about Christianity. Mm-hmm. And how would they feel about that? They would disagree with it. So I don't think you should let something like that. You just be so simple-minded and let that dictate your opinion.
Like if the KKK like showed everything that you need to know about Christianity, Christianity wouldn't be as big of a religion as it is now because there's so many different types of people that are Christian. So it just, like, when you think about it, it doesn't make sense. So if you say that, I don't want to say you're stupid, but like,
well, maybe
basically,
yeah. You're like, you're basically letting that one group of people define the whole religion, which is horrible because you're taking that and like, you're using that as like a stereotype for every single person in that religion, which is totally irrelevant, and you can't do because they can't. Not everybody falls under that umbrella of Muslims equal terrorists. That's just, that just happened to be ironic that it was like that one group, and it happened to be like a correlation between Muslims and like just horrible people. It's not Muslims are terrorists. It's just that they were bad people.
Yeah. And you touched on something because you were, you used that word define. Does religion define you?
No, it's just a label.
Okay.
And you can, like, you can label yourself as anything. You say, I'm a nice person, but you're not a nice person. It's just a word. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean anything.
It's how you
mean, it does, the structure of it means something, but you can claim something without having any correlation to it.
Sure. Well, what about the recent controversy involving Kim Davis? You know, she was the county clerk in Kentucky who refused to issue marriage license to same-sex couples, claiming that her religion forbade her from doing so. Let's look at that. What do you all think of that?
I think it, like, okay, so we were talking about this in my history class when it first started and, like, well, when it first happened, and we were talking about separation of church and state, and this, there's this one girl in my class that was arguing, like, that's what it was, but she is the state, so it's like, you can't do that.
Exactly.
That's your job,
okay.
And that's a law, and that's legal, then you're not committing any crimes, and if you can't have that job because of your religious beliefs, then you shouldn't do it. Like,
exactly.
I just don't think that.
Yeah, if your religion's going to get in the way of your job, then you don't need a government job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're working with the government, you should support the laws the government works through.
Well, that's good to hear you all say that, because I thought when it was like, this is a no-brainer. If you have a job and you have responsibilities
for
this, that's
part of your job.
That's part of your job. Now, if you disagree with that, you certainly have the right to do that. But to take that position, it just kind of escaped me. So I wanted to hear what do you think about it?
I agree with the fact that she's entitled to her own beliefs, of course. But she knew what she was signing up for when she applied for that job. She knew that she was going to have to uphold the Constitution, uphold the Bill of Rights, when in her like everyday job. Mm-hmm. And if she knew that this was going to be a problem, like, her own beliefs were going to conflict with what was state, like, right, governmentally, or whatever the adjective is, right, then she shouldn't have applied for it. So, yes, she's entitled to her beliefs, but she also signed a contract that said, I will comply with, like, the state's laws and, like, the government laws, so.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, if she may have already had the job before that law was passed, she could have maybe asked for a transfer or gotten one of our coworkers to do the actual signing or whatever.
Yeah, it just
sounds like. That was another thing that really bothered me. Like you said, her coworkers, the people that she was in charge of, because she had, like, I think 5 or 6 people that she was their boss.
Right.
And she tried to change what they were doing. She tried to say, no, you can't do this. And they were like, I'm not going to jail. Like, I'm going to follow what I'm supposed to do because this is my job. This is what I signed up for. Mm-hmm. So that, like, really agitated me that she was trying to change other people's beliefs and dictate what other people were doing.
Definitely wrong.
And if you read about her, I did, you know, in preparation for the program, you know, she's supposed to be so religious, okay? She's had, like, 3 divorces, children,
goodness.
A set of twins out of wedlock. I mean, not that I don't have any problem with any of that, but this is what, you know, she's done, yet she's so religious, and she's directed by
that.
Her religious doctor. Yeah,
so
go on the internet.
Critical, basically.
Yeah, back to that hypocrisy again. We just, you know, we tend to see that. So that was, you know, confusing to say the least. God often is referred to in American rhetoric. Are we making a mockery of religion when we use God to justify and support our behavior? You know, no matter what it is, but then we use God as support of it.
Okay, what I'm picturing and what I'm thinking of when you're telling me this is that it's like people that commit crimes or things like that, and they're like, oh, well, God told me to, or I'm doing this because of God and all this other stuff. So that, in that sense, it's like not okay, because obviously you shouldn't be doing that because it's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking of when you're saying that.
It's the context of what you're saying. I mean, like using religion to manipulate people, using it to justify things that are obviously wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was
talking an excuse.
About. Yeah, if you just use it as an excuse.
Yeah, like I think of cults when you bring that up. And I think of people using God as a symbol, as control and means of that. And I think that's just very disrespectful. And if you do believe in God, then that's disrespectful to the God you believe in. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's abiding many religions' rules. And that's very disrespectful to the followers of that religion as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree with, like, the whole thing that – I mean, if you – like, the people over in the Middle East, they use God to justify, like, all this killing.
ISIS.
And, like, ISIS is, like, they use Islam is, like, the Islamic State. And they use, like, the Islamic religion as, like, kind of a justification, which makes no sense. Because, it's supposed to be a religion, like, that brings them together and, like, a thing that they base their lives off of and, like,
it's
a happy thing. And, like, they're using it as, like, a polar opposite, and it just doesn't make any sense.
And they're killing a ton of other Muslims. I mean, that's just
constantly crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
People that
Women, children,
right.
Crazy.
How do you justify that? Yeah,
I think
it might be just something inside them. It's just the guilt is building up that they need something to just comfort themselves and give themselves some sort of justification. And I think it's because some people are mentally just not there. And the people in ISIS, they're mentally not stable. And it's just that there's something inside of them telling – there's conscience is speaking for them, and it's like, wait, I can support it with my faith. That gives me something that makes me feel good about myself.
And they may feel that need to belong to a group.
A purpose.
Yeah. And that purpose, being in that group becomes their family. And that group, here is a situation where the group and the doctrine does define them. You know, we asked you before, does your religion define you? Here is a situation where it does define you. You look like you're thinking.
Well, religion is definitely a part of you. Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, here they're using that religion to define them engaging in war. I mean, you know, look at the way the war was engaged. Was it unjustly started? There's so many variables that you have to look at. Is there any just way to wage war? I mean, you know, you get into all of that.
Yeah, jihad, holy war, so-called.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any way to justify those kinds of actions.
Right.
It's like they're looking for something to fall back on as an excuse. Like, maybe to themselves, they're trying to make themselves not seem as bad people as they really are. So they tell themselves, oh, this is, like, religiously right. This is, like, what we're supposed to be doing. And in reality, it's, like, not religiously right. And they're just using that as, like, something to blame it on. Like, instead of blaming it on themselves and, like, that they're crazy and doing this for no reason, they're like, no, we're not doing this for no reason. This is what we're being told to do. Like, this is the right thing. And when in reality, it's, like, not at all.
Yeah, they're creating their own justification for what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. They're brainwashing themselves and others.
They really believe, I mean, some of them strongly believe in their doctrine. You know, this is what they believe. This is a religious war. It should be waged in this manner. And, you know, that's where it's at. But, you know, we're at the end, and that's it for this edition of 411 Teen. A special thanks to Florida High students. Always glad to have you. Appreciate you sharing your opinions to my listening audience. What I'd ask you to do is tune in next week. Same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.